God but the Lord? And who is a rock? God but the Lord? Our God.
And who is a rock except our God?
Prepare yourselves. For the next hour, you will experience rock and roll for your soul. Music so intense, you will find yourself asking,
is this really Christian?
Yes, it is. And now, for the host of My Dad Rock Experience, Pastor Alan Ward.
Hello, welcome to My Dad Rocks. This is rock and roll for your soul. You know, today and maybe next week for that matter, and maybe even after that, I don't know, we'll have to play it by ear. But I want to play for you, in no particular order, my personal favorites from the 80s. Now, today's show is going to feature my more moderate Christian rock choices. Next week, Lord willing, I will play my heavier selections from the 80s that are my favorites. But I wanted to share these with you because, you know, you can hear the messages that I heard when I was a young man. And hopefully, you know, they'll grab a hold of you like they did me and effectively change your life forever. Music has messages to it. All music has a message, whether it's positive or negative. It's got a message. Every artist is trying to say something. And so these artists had something to say. And when I was a young man, I listened to them, and it had a big impact on my life. And hopefully, you too will benefit from what we're playing today. Now, the first song we're going to start off with is Mastodon, who is largely John Elefante and his brother Dino. And John Elefante was at one time the lead singer for Kansas. And he sang a song called Get Up, and that's what we're listening to right now.
One more wish is behind you now as your dream comes alive. You get it all at the drop of a hat, but it can cost you your life. Who is your master?
City lights, they blind you. Oh.
Yeah, it was Mastodon with Get Up. You know, I liked that song because it rocked, but also because it was about a man who wanted to make it big and be somebody famous. You know, I could identify with that because as a senior in high school, that's what I wanted to do. I'd set my sights on becoming an All-American place kicker in college and then going to the NFL and breaking records. And obviously that didn't happen, but that's what I wanted to do nonetheless. And this song grabbed my attention. The difference was that I had just recently turned my life over to Christ, and I had a spiritual purpose behind my ambition. And in this song, however, this person, as he pursues his dreams, he's haunted by a question, and it echoes throughout the song, which is, who is your master? And I knew who my master was. It was Jesus Christ. How about you? Not everybody wants to be famous per se, but it's just a valid question to ask you the same thing. Who is your master? Who is controlling you? What are you doing? Or why are you doing the things you do, rather? You know, this is an important question because it has ramifications for all of eternity. Many would say, well, I'm my own master. Nobody controls me. I do what I want to do. And that's exactly what the devil would have you think, because he doesn't want you to understand that you're really not the boss of you. Sin is your master. And Jesus said to the Jews that he could set them free. And in saying that, he was implying that they were enslaved. And that really offended them. And they said this in John 8:33, we are Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will make us free, or we'll become free? Jesus answered and said, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. See, they didn't realize that they were slaves of sin, just like most people today don't realize that. They thought they were doing as they pleased, but in reality, they were really only serving sin. They're only following the dictates of their sinful lusts and desires. And the Apostle Paul said over in Romans 6:16, do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. If we are willingly indulging in our sinful desires, then contrary to what we think, we're not free. We're enslaved to sin. And sin, as some of you have personal firsthand knowledge of, is a very cruel master.
We'll be right back.
that was Daryl Mansfield, Thunder and Lightning. You know, I liked that song when I was in high school because it just rock and rolled. And for some reason, my next one's starting and I have not started it. But anyways, in Matthew 24:27, picking up on the theme of that song, Thunder and Lightning, talking about the return of Christ, Jesus said this: "For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be." You know, Jesus Christ is coming back, and we will all be aware of it. Everyone will see it just as lightning is seen all over the sky. But it's going to take most people by surprise. Jesus said in the same passage in Matthew 24, verse 38 and 39, he said, "For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away, so will the coming of the Son of Man be." You know, the people before the flood didn't really understand. They didn't get it. They didn't realize that the judgment was coming upon them, even though Noah was preaching and telling them that. They just were carrying on like usual, you know, just another normal day, eating and drinking, going to work. Then, boom, the flood came upon them and they died. And Jesus said that that was, you know, what it's going to be like when he comes back. People are going to be just doing the, you know, their everyday thing. They're going to be going to work, picking up their kids, eating a meal, and boom, Jesus is going to be returning in the sky. And many people put off committing their lives to Christ because they think they have plenty of time to do it. The devil tells them, "Hey, you got plenty of time to do that, man. Just go out and have some more fun." And, you know, when you get a little older, you can do that. You can commit to Christ and be all serious about God, but just have a little fun right now. But you know what? The Bible rebukes us in that kind of thinking, because it says in Proverbs 27:1, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth." You don't know if you're going to live another day. You don't know if Christ is coming back tonight. You don't know. Instead, the Bible commands us this in Hebrews 4:7, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." You know, if you have the knowledge that you need to surrender your heart to Jesus Christ and you put it off, you're hardening your heart against God. And God says in his word in Proverbs 29:1, "A man who hardens his neck after much reproof will suddenly be broken beyond remedy." And another one of my favorite songs from the 80s speaks to this very thing. Here's the front with their song, "How Long." Hey, that was The Front in How Long. You know, that song kind of had a Chicago feel to it. That's kind of why I liked it. But you know what? That has a great message in it, too. How long? How long will you wait until you surrender your life to Jesus Christ? You know, don't wait. The devil and our own sinful hearts try to get us to wait. But the scripture says this in 2 Corinthians 6:2, now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. You don't know when Jesus Christ is returning, and once he does, it will be too late. Well, here's one of my all-time favorite artists, Carrie Livgren, singing his song entitled TGB about the very same subject.
Introduce myself, I'm the Prince of Fools. The question is, who's fool are you? There are no exceptions, there's no changing the rules. Don't try to pretend it ain't true. Stakes are forever, and the time is now. Tomorrow may never arrive. There's no substitution for the breath of a life. The truth is you've never been alive.
It's Kerry Livgren with TGB. I'm not really sure actually what those initials stand for, but a very important message in that song, and he was always one of my favorite artists, still is, still doing stuff right now. But you know what? In that song, the lyrics go, "Don't wait till it's over and you've lost it all." You know, every day you wait is another day closer to Christ's return. And every day you wait is another day spent not experiencing the greatest joy you could ever know. You know, Jesus said in John 15:11, "These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full." You know, surrendering your life to Jesus Christ and doing what he says is the way to be truly happy. And Jesus said that the things he had spoken were meant for our joy and or our true happiness. And so that means all the commandments, all the things we're supposed to do and not supposed to do that we find in the Bible, those things are meant to give us great joy and true happiness. And every day you wait to turn your life over to Jesus Christ is another day that you say, "Jesus, I don't think I believe you in what you say. I think you're a liar." Because if you really believe what Jesus said, if you truly believed it, you would act on it. Well, here's Petcher singing a song that was really one of my favorites back in the 80s, and it's called "God Pleaser." Petra with "God Pleaser." You know, and I like that song so much because when I first became a Christian, when I surrendered control of my life to Jesus Christ as a high school student, that's all I wanted to do. I wanted to please God. And all that I did, and this song really expressed the desire of my heart back then. And guess what? It still expresses the desire of my heart now, 26 years later. And I'm not the only one. I'm not the first nor the last that will ever have that same desire. The psalmist says in Psalm 119, verse 5, Oh, that my ways may be established to keep your testimonies. There's a strong desire on the psalmist's part here to be pleasing to God in everything that he did. The Apostle Paul said of himself and others that he knew in 2 Corinthians 5:9, therefore we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, that is whether alive or dead, to be pleasing to him, speaking of God. You know, most people live to please everybody but God. You know, that's a trap of the devil. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. Now, the word here for fear doesn't necessarily mean that you're frightened of people, but rather it means that you respect what people think. You desire to please them. You want people to like you and think you're okay. And that's what we call today peer pressure. But, you know, that ensnares you. It traps you. It leads you into things that aren't good. The book of John condemns those who live for the approval of man. In John 12, 42 through 43, it says this, many of the rulers believed in him, that is Jesus. But because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God. You see, their belief in Jesus was not a saving belief. It wasn't a saving faith because they were more concerned with pleasing people than they were with God. How about you? You know, many people claim to believe in Jesus, but they will not live for him because they're concerned about what people are going to think. And they're not concerned about what God thinks. They're more concerned about what people think. And if that's you, don't deceive yourself into thinking you're okay with God. Jesus said over in Mark chapter 8, verse 34, he summoned the crowd of disciples to him, and he said, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. You know, you can try to, you know, live for yourself and secure your reputation and won't get people to like you and think you're cool and all this stuff, but you're going to lose your soul. And there's no, you could gain the whole world's favor and lose your soul, and it profits you nothing. That's what Jesus is saying. Don't be ashamed of Christ and his words. Live for him. Well, here's Mylon Farmer and Broken Heart singing. I skipped ahead of myself. Looked in the wrong place. You know, the only way you can live a life that is pleasing to God, the only way that you can live in a way that glorifies him, is to yield to his Holy Spirit. And two of my favorite songs from the 80s talks about that. And the first one's Rick Kua, Spirit. That was Rick Kua with his song Spirit. Came out in the early 80s, this one did. And I really liked it because it was sounded, I like the guitar rhythm in it. And it also has a very good message about how we have to live in order to please God, and that's through his Holy Spirit. The next band sings another song called Yield to the Spirit, and here's the English band. Joe English Band with Yield to the Spirit. The Bible says that these two songs, really what the Bible says is that what they're singing about is proof of whether or not we truly know Jesus Christ and are saved. In Romans 8, verse 12, it says this, "So then, brethren, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." And you see, the proof that we know God is that we actually yield to His Spirit, as the song sang. We obey God and we put to death those sinful deeds that we're always used to live in, and we bring life through the Holy Spirit to obedience to God, which glorifies His name. And that is proof then that we're being led by the Spirit of God. We're being moved along in the path of obedience, in the narrow path that Jesus referred to of obedience. Well, this next group is I really enjoyed throughout the 80s. It's Milo Lefevre and Broken Heart. And this is one of my favorite songs that they ever did. And that's I Will Rejoice.
Since my
Lefevre and Broken Heart with I Will Rejoice. I always liked that song because it had piano and electric guitars together in it. And if you haven't noticed, half these songs that I played today have had that same combination. I just really like that. But you know what? As far as the lyrics go, I like this song because the main message was always true for me. It said, "So sings my soul and lifts my voice. He makes me glad. I will rejoice." You know, no matter what hardships I was going through, that truth has always been there for me. I've always been happy and joyful. Ever since I surrendered my life to Christ, no matter what troubles or sorrows I went through, I've always had a joy underneath it all. You know, and King David went through a lot of stuff, tough stuff too, in the Bible. And during one of those tough times, he talked about his joy that he had, and a joy that stayed with him no matter what the circumstances were. They never could take away his joy. But he said this in Psalm 43:4, "Then I will go to my God, to God my exceeding joy, and upon the lyre," it's like a guitar, "I shall praise you, O God, my God." And then he said this, "Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why are you disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, the help of my countenance and my God." You see, even in the midst of his sorrow and tough times and being in despair, he had that exceeding joy in God. And you can have that too if you surrender your life to Christ. Well, next up is Ally singing "Don't You Worry."